My goals determine what I'm going to be. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you the thought for today. My goals determine what I'm going to be. Now, what are your goals? What are my goals? Are our goals the mundane things of everyday life, the idea that we are perfect or imperfect, that we have problems, that our family is doing certain things, and our world is doing certain things, our business is doing certain things? Are we having circumstances that cause us to think, well, now, what is it we're going to do? Where are our values? Our goals and our values are pretty much the same thing, you know, because what is your value? Is your value to live a happy life? Is your goal to live a happy life? Or are you wanting to live a life that is filled with all sorts of mystery and wonderment about it? You know, that's kind of nice too. What is your goal? What is it that makes you get turned on? Now, sometimes other people make us turned on, and sometimes other people turn us off. But what is the most important goal we could ever have? And that is to be yourself and have fun. Well, Herb, you're always saying that. Not a bad idea, is it? Okay? Be yourself and have fun. Now, if that is your goal, and it's certainly my goal, and I certainly live it pretty much, be yourself and have fun means that you don't allow anything else in the world to disturb you. Now, you say that's negative. That's true. Let's make it positive. You aim at whatever it is that's important to you in the world, and you look at whatever it is that's important to you in the world, and then that's where you have your thoughts. That's where you have your aspirations. That's where you have your joys. Where is it that your thought is? What is it that interests you? Are you interested in going water skiing? Then why don't you move to the desert? If you like water skiing, you move where there's water. And you can find water in the desert, Lake Havasu, you know. You can find all sorts of neat things wherever you want. It doesn't matter. I think it's Las Vegas. Some friends of mine, they like to swim. And they like to swim in the ocean. But they really were not interested in swimming in the ocean. They wanted to swim in lovely warm water. They wanted to swim where, you know, it was a controlled situation, where it was warm outside and warm inside. So what they did, they went to Las Vegas, and they went to their gigantic swimming pool, which had a wave maker in the pool, and they could swim in this pool to their heart's content, and the wave maker made all the waves that they could play with and enjoy, and just like swimming. Now, it wasn't for surfing, but it was for swimming. Swimming against that surf, you know, against that wave, and it's warm outside, the temperature is 115, and in the pool, it's maybe about 95, just really great, just makes it what they want to have it, and they had a wonderful time. Now, who would have thought of swimming against the waves in Las Vegas, of all places, you know? There you say, in the desert sands would be undulating back and forth in the wind and what have you, but also, they do have the pool over there that makes waves, and it's kind of fun. What is your goal in life? Is it to be yourself and have fun? Then create yourself in a circumstance where you have fun and be yourself. Now, if you like to be a very simple person, and you are not interested in television or the radio or things like that, but you like music, and you think, well, gee, I really don't want to be tied up in the city and be working on a 9-to-5 job and so forth. And so what am I going to do? So you say, I'd love to live in the desert. I'd love to live way out in the middle of the desert where there's nobody around, have my own private oasis, you know, and palm trees and little spring there, nice to go swimming in and stuff like that. And wouldn't that be a lovely place? But where would I get the money to have food? Well, no, that's another point, too. How much food does a kitty cat eat? If a kitty cat eats no food, then it doesn't need any food. But how much food do you want to have in a year's time? Did you ever figure your budget? Now, just for you, how much food does it take to eat in a year's time? You can eat nicely, or you can eat canned foods, or you can eat salads. You can eat all the various things you like, but how much does it cost you to buy food in a year's time? You don't know. Because you throw in with the food money the cleaning soaps and all the other gadgets, and you throw in with the food money all of the washcloths and other goodies that come along, and that all adds up. That adds up to a lot. Well, this is not a practical figure, but let's say it's $10 a month for food. Well, or $100 a month, whatever you're going to come up with. And so, let's say it's $100 a month for food. That's a lot, isn't it? That's for one person? Okay. Well, how are you going to eat? You're going to have steaks and shrimp and lobster and stuff like that all the time? Really, Ellen, one person. I'm talking about one person. We have four people here on campus. We have four people here, and if we spend more than $400 for food, Ellen, for food, I don't mean for soap, I don't mean for washcloths, I don't mean for goodies and other things like that. I don't mean for ice cream. That's not food. That's extra. That's nice, but it's extra, you know. And I don't mean for extra jellies, and I don't mean for what do you call these gourmet foods, you know. I mean good, solid, everyday food that anyone would be happy to have as their diet. And if you're going to eat in a fancy restaurant like the Uni restaurant here, then, of course, you're going to have bananas and oranges and apples in season, out of season. You're going to have a lot of things that are quite expensive. And this yogurt and all these other things, they're great, you know. Okay. Now, but you just add these things all up. Now, I am not asking you to make fun of me. I'm asking you to be supportive of me. I'm asking you to say what would be a budget for one person to eat in a month. You know, what would be a budget? Now, it's not a matter of being silly. It's a matter of having something serious. Okay. So, it's $1,000 a month. Isn't that stupid? It's $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year, okay? $12,000 a year just for food. Okay, what does the average job pay a person? Does it pay a person $12,000 a year? Well, that's working full time, 8 hours a day. But if you got a job, you could probably work and earn $12,000 in 1 month. You know? Okay? So you're earning your $12,000 in 1 month. And then you work for a month, and then for 11 months, you can live in your paradise. You can have the money for your food, and you can live quite nicely there in all those things. Now, the only thing that you're going to do is to have a big gasoline bill, driving back and forth to the store every day to get your vegetables and to get your perishable items, because you will have no refrigerator, because there's no electricity out in an oasis in the middle of the desert. And you would not have a television, and you would not have a radio. You might have battery operated, or you could have a solar operated, you know. You could do a lot of different things, but you see, what I'm trying to say, money is not really a big necessity in life. It is a stupid necessity that we have made for ourselves because we have high standards of living. Now, you look at many of the people living in the African deserts and in our own deserts here in the United States, and they live very casually, very inexpensively, and they live very nicely, and they enjoy many wonderful things. And their budget is not $100 a month. You say, well, it has to be at least that. No. You say that. They eat a lot of things that are not perishable. They eat a lot of rice. They eat a lot of grains. They eat a lot of whatever they eat. We'd have to sort of figure out a budget for that. But what is it that would make you happy? Now, we're just taking the symbol that what would make you happy would be to have a desert home, you know, where you could live and eat and enjoy yourself. just run around the sun and I don't know what all you do, but whatever, it turns you on. Now, could you afford to do that? You say, well, Herb, you're being very specific about the money and you're being very specific about the details of it. That's true. A person who really has a dream, a desire, or a goal never gets specific about it. They just put the goal in consciousness and then it is theirs. Do you think that all of these people who live in poverty or who live in the desert, who live in very limited areas, that they put the cause in motion to do it? Yes, they did. Yes, they, nothing happened by chance. And you're trying to tell me something happens by chance? I'm reading all your minds. You're trying to tell me that something happened by chance. Nobody would like to live in the desert. Nobody would like to live in impoverished circumstances. Well, they certainly do. They certainly do. Anybody who has a fresh vision of life in any area is going to go and fulfill that vision because they're putting a cause in motion to do it. They're not figuring out it's going to be $100 a month for food and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. We're going to use this solar panels to put electricity in there, which are quite expensive, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When you have a dream, your dream comes threadbare, naked. It comes without any trimmings to it. It just comes with the fact that the dream is the dream. I want a mink coat. Sounds silly, doesn't it? All right, now I want a mink coat. It doesn't mean that I have to go buy a mink coat. It doesn't mean that I have to be nice to some person who's going to give me a mink coat. It doesn't mean that I have to know that it's from minks and it's going to kill the minks to get the coat. My goodness sakes, all the meat that we eat kills more animals from which the hides of the animals were from our shoes and other things, you know. I mean, we're silly. We're silly. We're silly to say that I wouldn't wear a mink coat because that kills an animal. Well, then why eat hamburgers? That kills animals too. Why eat pork? Why eat anything? You know, that's silly. We are illogical, irrational in our thinking in that area. So, but think of this way. What would you do when you think mink coat? He said, Herb, what would you do with a mink coat? Well, I'm not me. I'm just an idea. I could say I have a new Mercedes. You know, hey, that's cool. I have a new Mercedes. And now, I don't have any money to buy the gas for the Mercedes. I don't have a garage for the Mercedes. I don't have any roads out in the desert to drive the Mercedes. But I choose to have a Mercedes. So I have the Mercedes in all of the strangest, most outlandish, unreasonable ways. The Mercedes comes to me. Some very wealthy person is driving his Mercedes across the desert and he gets stuck in front of my house and he can't go further. And so he leaves it there and he says, keep it. I can't, to haul it out of here would cost me more money than to leave it. So you now got yourself a Mercedes. Well, isn't that interesting? Here, I've got myself a Mercedes, and it's stuck in front of my house, and it's kind of pretty, you know. So, what do I first thing I do? I build a garage around it to keep it from weathering away, you know. And next thing you know, I visualize I have a beautiful road. And so, the state of Arizona, you know, or Nevada, they are building a new freeway, and zroop, right by the front of my house. That's just what I always wanted, a freeway right in front of my oasis in the desert. But don't be laughing. That happens. That just that silly stuff like that happens. And there's a lot of people living in the desert who had freeways running by their houses that, my God, I thought we moved away from civilization, and it goes whizzing right by our door. And it's fascinating. But you see, when you have a dream, your dream does not have to have specifics. It's just, you have a dream. I love a Mercedes, so I have a Mercedes, Jim. And it happens to be an old Mercedes from 1910 or something like that, whenever the first one came out. And it's a classic, and it's, you know, it's everything, but and it doesn't run, but I have it. But now, is that the type of thing I create for myself? I create for myself a very viable, very visible, very useful item, And I don't create some relic, you know. I create something beautiful. And I don't put plans around it of how it must be or how it may come or how it doesn't. I just have my goals, very specific, that I choose to live a harmonious life, away from the clamor of society, living where I can be in meditation and in introspection without any distraction, and I have it. Now, let's look at many of our dear friends who are living over in the land called India, and they are gurus. They are meditators and introspectors, and they're pretty good at it. And they sit down like Gertrude in the middle of the street, untouched by what's going on around them. It's not the middle of the street, it's in the median strip there. She'd be kind of silly, said, right in the middle of the street. There would be a few people who wouldn't bother that she was there and just run right over her, flatten her out and make beefcake out of her. So they can meditate right in the middle of confusion. So if indeed meditation and introspection were my thing, I don't have to create myself in an environment that's difficult. I can create myself right across the street from the fresh food store, you know, and I don't have to go very far. And I can go behind the fresh food store every night and pick up the food that was fresh during the day, but it wasn't fresh enough to hold over for the next day, sale. So I would have all of the wonderful fruits that I'd have just perfectly conditioned and ready to eat, you know, just mellow and beautiful. You laugh. The street people enjoy that very much, and they're healthier than we are. They're eating things that at the peak of their ripeness. You say, Herb, you're making a joke out of this. I am, but isn't it nice? Now, my goals determine what I'm going to be. What is it that your goal is for yourself? I would ask each of you what your goal is, and none of you would be able to tell me specifically. You would have some harebrained idea. My goal is to have my perfect lover. My goal is to have my perfect house, my perfect farm, my blah, 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 blah. That's not your goal. That's not your goal. When you die, what are you going to remember as having? Have you had your house, or having had your lover, or having had this or that? No. You're not going to die. But when you die, when you finish this dimension, you're going to say to yourself, I did what I came for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remembered who I was.
Yes.
I am divine, and I'm fantastic, and I'm glorious, and I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And you're saying you're whole and perfect, too. Yeah. So now do that. So this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And if all the things that I mentioned to you are interesting, but difficult because you have to go so far to get your groceries, bum, sit in the middle of the street, you know. If you have to do this or that, and hey, what's the biggest joker that walked on the face of the earth besides Jesus and a few others like that? But what's the biggest joker? Buddha. Buddha went out and he flagellated himself and he did everything he could to demean his body and say, you know, I'm going my spiritual path. And then he had illumination. And the illumination said, hey, stupid, the body is here to be enjoyed. The body is here to carry you around and take your heart and mind and being wherever you want to be. And eat, drink, and be merry. So he came back to his associates, and he said, hey, let's eat, drink, and be merry. And they said, oh, come on now, you've lost your cool, you know. And so he went out, and he found a nice place to eat, and the people fed him well, and in no time at all, he was a fat little Buddha, you know. And so then what happens? I mean, here he is, no job, no nothing, just, you know, he's not a good panhandler because he's too well fed, but this lady comes along and says, I like what you teach. I like your philosophy. I've got an extra couple thousand acres over there, Deer Park. You can have that for your retreat. And I'll make sure that you got food. Ha, ha, ha. So she made sure he had food for him and his followers. Made sure he had a nice retreat there to do his thing in. And made sure that he was comfortable. Gave him a nice dais. That's a throne on which he sat. And he sat there with his beautiful saffron robe, you know, the traditional thing, And people came to him and said, "Oh, great Buddha, tell me what I should do." And he, like so many of the other great teachers, he said a couple of words. He said, "This too shall pass. Don't get hung up on it. Just listen within. Listen within. The outer, that goes away. Listen within." And they listened within, and they were happy. Now, what is your goal? Your goal to be a Buddha like that? He didn't know he was going to be that, you know? He had a whole different attitude. You know, I think probably the Buddha's biggest problem was that he was born rich, he lived rich, he went into his mendicant poverty for a period of time, not too long, and then his opulence, his richness had to come through again. And he created himself eating good meals, having a lovely place, bigger than many of the richest people in the area, you know. They didn't have thousands of acres, you know, maintained by a woman, you know, who respected and enjoyed them, you know. You know, how many of you have some man or woman who's maintaining you and keeping you in the style that you're not accustomed to, you know? Now, did Buddha create that? Buddha had in his consciousness from the beginning abundance. He had in his consciousness from the beginning wealth. He had in his consciousness from the beginning wholeness. He had in his consciousness from the beginning life, immortality. Because he never knew death. He never knew poverty. He never knew sickness. He never knew indolence. He never knew any of these things, you know? And then when he found out about them, he said, "That's not too cool. Let's eradicate them." And that's what he did. So what is it you want to do? What are you born in? Are you born in a barn? Well, Jesus handled that pretty well, too. But what are you born in? Are you born in the idea that life is great or life is not? Are you born in the idea that everything goes my way or everything does not? What is it? And if you're not born in it, you can always move into it, you know. You can always grow up and claim it. Jesus, not Jesus, but Buddha, he wanted his associates to claim it. But they were so hung up with the only thing they ever knew. They came out of poverty into poverty, and they remained in poverty. But those who woke up and followed the Buddha, they didn't know poverty. They didn't know any need of any kind. We don't need to know any need of any kind when we have our goals properly organized in our consciousness. Now, what is your goal in your consciousness? We're doing pretty good this morning, aren't we? What is your goal in your consciousness? What direction are you going? What do you want to accomplish for yourself? My goals determine what I'm going to be. I am happy. That's my goal. And I'm doing pretty good. I am surrounded by beautiful people. You got an argument there, huh?
No.
Well, I think we're doing real great here, okay? I am a joyous person. I have no problems. I give them all to you. No, I have no problems. If you don't want to do the things that continue our paradise here, then that's okay. That's okay. If your consciousness is such that you don't feel that this paradise is worthwhile backing and supporting, then that's okay. Gertrude is giving a great deal of money every year to the support of the university, and we can only say thank you. But she doesn't know how not to do it because it comes flooding back into her life. Every time she turns around, she has abundance, right?
Yes.
Every time she turns around, her good flows to her. But that's because she maintains the content of the operation and the organization that she believes in. Now, do you each do that too? To a degree, you do. You know, to a degree. Old funny face over here. She has given her entire inheritance to the university here. And her inheritance is her what do you call it, the pension fund. And it's not bad, you know, that's not bad. And what have each of you given to whatever it is that, that you believe in? I tell everybody, whatever you believe in, support it with your whole heart. If you believe in the Catholic Church, be the best Catholic that ever walked the face of the earth. If you are a Mormon, be a fabulous Mormon. If you are God Unlimited, be fabulous. If you are yourself, I'm me, be a fabulous Lou, a fabulous you. Be the most wonderful you that ever walked the face of the earth. People will look at you and they'll say, there's something good about that person. They're wonderful, you know. But they're so selfish and they are so happy. They're so content. They're walking their own path, doing their own thing, and there's no problems, you know. But can that be said of you? That you are being yourself and having fun? It can be. And right now. Right now, this is the beginning of the rest of our experience on this dimension. And we are living on many other dimensions, but that's not where we're placing our attention. We're placing our attention right here and right now. My goal determines what I'm going to be. And that should be better phrased, my goal determines what I am. Mm-hmm. So, have a wonderful day. And play with your goals, and you will find your goals are pretty nice, and they're kind of fun. And being yourself and having fun does not cost any money at all. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're great, beautiful, and fabulous.